Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate the confidence in your words there. I don't always hold that confidence in myself because I see my own heart at times, and it can be awfully dark. Yep, our confidence is in the Lord, absolutely. In your prayer, you mentioned that I would fall flat on my face, and I pray the Lord would allow me to fall flat on my face if I don't stand before His people and preach Him.
That's right.
The Lord said, "Feed my sheep." May God be pleased to use my words to feed His sheep. Amen. Let's get right into this. Been a little bit of a long day, so we don't want to take too long. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. We have here a picture of God's chosen people that God comes to and enlightens His children. Verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of them," speaking of the disciples, the apostles, "went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things that had happened." They talked about the things of Christ, how Christ had come and done all these miracles in front of Israel, how Christ had been dragged and beaten and hung on a cross. Their Messiah that they thought was going to build a throne right there in Israel kind of let them down a little bit. They were sad. "And it came to pass while they communed together, speaking of these things and reason, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him." Did you catch that? The same Jesus who had been hung on the cross and was now risen again walked with these two men, yet they did not recognize Him because He was holding their eyes. "And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad?" Now if you would turn over to verse 25. "They walked along and they spoke about the things that they thought were supposed to happen, but they didn't happen the way they thought they would." Verse 25, it says, "And then He," our Lord, "said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Remember, the New Testament had not been written. This is very important. Our Lord Jesus is talking about the prophets of old, the Old Testament. "You are slow of heart, you are fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory," it says. Verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." It takes the Lord Jesus Christ to look into the old Scriptures and see Himself. It takes His revelation to give us that scene, to show us the pictures that our pastor was speaking about, the allegories showing the pictures of Christ, the things of the spiritual things. A few weeks back, Ray gave a devotion about the different translations and how the King James was the one that he sees Christ in. This was the most important part of his devotion, is that he sees Christ. Christ is revealed to him in scriptures from cover to cover. It is Christ who reveals that to him, not man who interprets it. Matthew 11:27 says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and He to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." Amen. I agree with the quote that Ray quoted from Don Fortner, and I don't have it exactly that way, but I understand it went like this, something, we don't need a new translation. We need Christ to expound unto us Himself in Scriptures. Luke 10:21, it says, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." So now that we see this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to each of his blood-bought children, each of us, and revealing himself to us, turn over to Genesis chapter 7, and let's look at some of the things the prophets of old said, and see if we can see Christ. Throughout Scripture, our Lord reveals himself to those that were chosen before the world was. Through pictures and types, the Spirit comes to them and opens their blind eyes, unstops their deaf ears, removes the heart of stone, and gives them the ability to believe his word. He gives them faith. Faith is a gift of God. We come into this life dead in trespasses and sin, blind to the truth. We don't want to hear about a God who is working all things out according to his own counsel. No, we would rather have a God we can control ourselves. One who answers to our desires. We would rather have a God that answers to us when we think we need him. And you know what? The true and living God allows most to believe this very way. 2 Thessalonians, it says in verse 2:11, "And for this God, or for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they shall believe a lie." Yes. The idea that you can control God, that he will answer to you, is a lie. The idea that your will can be exercised over God's will is a lie. But yet, there are some that he gives hope to. There are some that he gives peace to. There are some that he gives life to. We have all sinned and came short of the glory of God. We all deserve the wrath of God. Yet some will be raised up out of that pit of death. Our Lord gives us an example of this, an allegory, as you may say, right here in Genesis chapter 7. Look at verse 17 with me, if you would, please. "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. And it was lifted up above the earth, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters." "And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which is upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping thing and the fowl of the heavens, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark." Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Yes, sir. This brings me today's to the title of this message, Risen in Christ. You see, the unregenerate don't see the ark as a picture of Christ. I remember when I was walking around through this world doing the things that I thought I should be doing, not following Christ, not seeking after Christ. I heard stories about how the ark is a picture of Christ, but it never affected me. To me, it was just a bunch of Yahoo nonsense. That's the way the unregenerate are. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ to come to us, just as he came to the two men on Emmaus, and expound, to reveal that this ark is a picture of God, a picture of Christ. Notice something, if you would, in verses 19 and 20. "And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered." Now, I'd like you to take a picture in your mind for just a moment. It might be a little difficult because it's hard to picture a round ball of water. Usually it splashes out everywhere, but picture a round ball of water and one ark floating on top of that water. Is there any point higher than that ark? Steve brought out in this morning's message, in the Bible study, how Christ must be lifted up. John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Isaiah 6:1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also, Isaiah speaking, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Nothing is higher than our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh. He has been set on his throne, and that throne is above all things. Matthew 17:5, it says, While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came, catch this, Jesus came to them, touched them, and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. The Lord Jesus was the only man, the only flesh to ever walk this earth in a perfect walk. The only man, the only flesh that ever walked God's law perfectly. Because he is the God-man. He is God in the flesh, the second in the Trinity of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And he has been lifted up above all things, whether they be in earth or heaven or under the earth. All things are under our Lord Jesus Christ. He is sovereign over all things. Now that's a word that we here in Rescue have been insinuated that we harp on too much. Now why would somebody harp on somebody? Why would somebody say that's harping on? Speaking the word sovereign. You hear it from other churches. I guarantee you go down here to the Baptist church down the street, you're going to hear them say the same thing. Oh yeah, he's sovereign. He controls all things. What about you? They'll say, oh no, I have a free will. So they may say he's sovereign, but they don't act it, do they? The word sovereign means control over all things. How often do we see in the Bible the Lord Jesus Christ is called Lord? I don't remember the Greek word that our pastors good at quoting, but it means Lord of all things. If he's not Lord of all things, then he's not Lord of all. He's not Lord at all. He is sovereign over everything. And this is why I like that word. If he wasn't sovereign over everything, then there'd be a chance that I could mess it up. And I mess a lot of things up. I started off this message by mentioning my black heart. I thank God nobody else sees it. I thank God that he doesn't see it anymore either. For my Savior has covered it with his blood. The word sovereign is so important to me because that tells me that he's in control of all things. It's by his will that I was saved. It's by his will that I was called. I wasn't looking for him. He brought me here to this church. Pastor Gene wasn't even looking at me, yet he preached to me all day that first time I heard his message. If he's sovereign over all things, I don't have anything to worry about. That black heart can't stop him from doing what he wants. No, That black heart can't keep him from saving the one that he's loved before the world began. That black heart can't stop him from doing what he wants, sitting on his throne, ruling over everything and doing whatever pleases himself to do. And it pleases him to reveal himself in scriptures to those that he loves, to those that were given to our Lord before the world was. Our Lord, our Savior, reveals himself in the form of an ark. We see our Savior protecting his loved ones from the wrath to come. We see our only hope of survival is in him. To be in Christ is to be safe from the wrath to come, the same wrath that we too deserve, the same wrath that would be our just reward. But God. I do love those words, but God, who will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy, has provided an ark. Our Lord comes in the form of the Holy Spirit, and he first reveals our spiritual deadness to us. How often do we see in scriptures dry bones, deaf people, blind, leprosy, the dead? How often do we see pictures of mankind in scriptures? He must show us how low we are for this very reason, so that we can see how high he is. But thank God he does not leave us there in our own filth, in our own blood, lying in that dirt, dying. No, the Lord walks by and he calls his own. He says, live, Kathy. He says, live, Mike. Juan, live. The Lord says that to you. He, the giver of life, walks by and says, live. Our picture here in Genesis is showing us the Lord lifting up his own, Noah, from that pit of death. Everything below it died. Let's read verse 23 again, if you would, please. What does it say? And everything and every living substance was destroyed, which is upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping thing and the fowl and the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. Noah was raised up in Christ. Henceforth the title of this message, Risen in Christ. Noah was raised up in Christ, not by anything that he had done, but by God himself. Look at the last part of verse 16, if you would, please. The Lord shut him in. Oh, that the Lord would come to me and shut me into his ark, into his son. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6, it says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or given us life, us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have an inheritance, and our inheritance is in him and what he has done. Something our pastor had mentioned when I was telling him about this part of scripture that I wanted to bring a message from triggered a thought. He said, notice the water that lifted up the ark is the same water that destroyed all living things that were not in that ark. The exact same water that took that ark and lifted it up above everything is the same water that destroyed everything. Water is used throughout scriptures as a picture of the word. The water coming from the rock for Israel when it was in the wilderness is a picture of the Word of God going out. The very word that Ray was talking about in his devotion, Christ, scripture, from cover to cover in this scripture, the very word that he was talking about is that same word that raises up our Lord Jesus. God's people see him cover to cover. But we also see the word as a two-edged sword. It saves and it destroys. The same word that saves God's people will be used to destroy those who refuse to believe that very word. Remember when the devil was tempting Jesus out in the wilderness? How did Jesus answer that devil? You guys recall? He answered with the word. He shut the mouth of the most wicked one of all with the word of God. He, our Lord, comes and expounds or explains the things concerning himself in all of Scripture, starting with the writings of Moses and finishing with the writings of John, Revelation, to each and every one of all that the Father hath given him. There will be no empty seats. Christ says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The question is, are you seeing Christ as he reveals himself in Scripture? Is the word that you're reading lifting him up? Is the man that stands before you preaching, raising Christ above all things? Many churches today don't. Oh, how often I've been to another church and heard about the wonderful things that they do. I can't believe this. One time I went to a church. I couldn't believe it at the time. And it was a Baptist church. And it was St. Patrick's Day. And the guy got up there and spoke about St. Patrick, a Catholic priest, for an hour. I don't believe Catholics and Baptists believe the same thing, do they? That was pretty strange, but that's how strange it is. There's another one, a person I know that claims to be a Christian, and all I hear from them is about how they help the homeless. Everything I hear about their church is how they help the homeless. You know what I hear about when I hear people talk about rescue? That guy talks about Christ and sovereign stuff, and he doesn't. I hear that. That's all they hear about from there is Christ. Thank God for that. Amen. That's why I come here, to hear about Christ. Because he needs to be lifted up in my life. I need him lifted up every moment in front of me to black out that black heart that I have, to keep me from seeing the things that tempt my mind outside those doors. Our brother Don Fortner wrote an article on Genesis 1 here, if you'll allow me to read this for you. It's not very long. And the Lord said unto Noah, it's taking from Genesis 7:1, where it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Pastor Fortner writes, there are three arks. Three arks are mentioned in Scriptures. All three were places of refuge and means salvation. All three were pictures of grace, typical of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Ark of the Covenant sheltered the two tables of stone upon which the law of God was written. There, in that ark, under the mercy seat, were found the broken law that demanded death, the manna that gave life, and the rod of power that led and protected Israel. There was also the Ark of the Bulrushes that protected God's chosen one, Moses, from the wrath of the murderous designs of Pharaoh. Remember when Moses was born, Pharaoh put out a call to have all the children of a certain age killed, I believe, wasn't it?
All male babies.
Yeah, all the male babies were supposed to be killed. And the only thing that saved him, that he was put in this little ark, this little raft that floated off into the reeds. The ark which Noah built was the ark of God's salvation for him, Noah, and his family. This ark was also a beautiful type of Christ and a clear, instructive picture of the grace of God in him. Noah and his family were saved in the flood by a ship and ark which God commanded him to build. As there was but one ark in the days of Noah, there is but one way of salvation for poor, helpless, guilty sinners. The whole world was drowned under the flood of God's wrath, except for those eight happy souls in the ark. Even so, the whole world shall be destroyed in the everlasting wrath of the Almighty God, except for those happy, blessed men and women who are in Christ. Christ alone is the Savior of men. There is none other name under heaven which given among them whereby we must be saved. If we would be saved, we must come into the ark, Christ Jesus. We must flee from the wrath of God, and fleeing, we must flee to Christ. So I ask a question again. Are you seeing Christ as he reveals himself in scriptures? Is the word you're reading lifting him up above all things? Death could not hold him. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Pastor.